Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, sitting here with Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
I always had that little pause in there. Venerable Tom Dorian.
That's what I'm laughing at. That was a pretty cool pause.
Yeah, it's because it's dramatic.
Yeah.
Speaking of dramatic, he is risen. I don't know if y'all heard.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Happy Easter. We get to say that for like 50 days, you know.
We can't wait. Well, we're down to 43 or something. We're countdown to the end of Easter. But Easter, I love the annual contest in every parish church, you know, or in every diocese, like which church's Easter lilies are going to last the longest.
Yeah.
Because 8 Sundays.
That'd be a good over and under.
But you got the some of the parishes, you know, I think they try to cheat a little because they're like spraying glue and stuff onto their, you know,
wow.
They're watering it with glue.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of see if they can keep the flowers on longer. I don't know.
Interesting.
It's just anyway, it's a big deal to Marge, you know, at the parish. She wants to win the award, and I hope she does. So anyway, it's wonderful.
Happy Easter, Marge.
Happy Easter, Marge. But she can't respond right now. She's busy. She's
Sam.
Sure.
Speaking of the 50-day thing, have you had anybody look at you funny when you tell them Happy Easter, like four or five days later?
No, I mean,
I had that once.
They had
a conversation.
They get weird about it, like, you know, when it's like a few weeks in. But like,
yeah.
I think during the octave. Well, so I think if you're talking to someone who's not a Catholic, I mean, a lot of Protestant
denominations, was this case.
Yeah, they don't have that same sense of this of Easter being a season. It's just
one day.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, I think with Catholics, there's that sense that's ingrained in us that every Sunday is an Easter, right? And in a way, or a little Easter. And then you've got a whole long season dedicated to Easter. Mm-hmm. And that this is...
Yeah. That's why I say Happy Big Easter. I say Happy Big Easter just to delineate, you know. Then I get looks from Catholics.
Right.
Wait, what is Big Easter? This is Big Easter. We're in Big Easter. Okay.
Yeah. So like they're missing out on something.
But you're allowed to say Happy Easter like the first time you see somebody after. It's like you can say Merry Christmas like 3, 4, 5 days after Christmas, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I say it on like, you know, February 1st.
I know you do. Of course you do. While you're holding your candles, getting ready to get them blessed. Good for you.
Excellent.
Good for you. Well, look, when last we were together, we were talking about praying for kids during Easter. I actually had a lot of positive feedback on that show. There were a lot of folks that were like...
Did you get any negative?
No.
That's good.
We hardly ever get negative feedback.
That's
and
good.
This is not a challenge to
we
you
have a
out
nice
there.
Audience.
People say, I don't want to love my kids.
I refuse to love my kids. No, that's not the case. Now, there's some people that probably don't love their kids, but that's a whole... They're not feeding us.
They're not
listening to the show. But honestly, no, it's good positive feedback. And so it was nice to talk about just the concept of unconditional love. And every time we come up with a concept like that, even though we didn't come up with that concept, God did. But whenever we talk about something like unconditional love, like some little synapse in your brain goes or something, and some little neuron fires,
yes.
And then you go like, huh, unconditional love.
It's like a Keebler elf in there.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just he's in there baking brain cookies. And all of a sudden he's like thinking about unconditional love, which spurred you into some kind of theological mode. You had one of those burning questions, one of those questions that I think that people, you know, in the Vatican sit in some darkened room smoking cigars, wrestling with God on these questions. And you had a question or a thought about unconditional love.
Well, so our focus was unconditional love for persons, right? In that case, we focused on family and especially children. But, you know, we had a good exploration of what unconditional love looks like for other people. But what does unconditional love of God look like?
Love of God? Like
yeah,
our
love
for God.
Love for God. Like, how do I love God with unconditional love? is the question that I'm inviting us to explore today. And I think, you know, this episode is airing on Divine Mercy Sunday, and so I think that that's actually it's important to bring up the point that when we experience unconditional love from God, right, His mercy is the most obvious way that we experience unconditional love from Him, right? I mean, you know, no matter what we've done in our lives, if we've gone in to the confessional, made a good confession, you know, you don't expect to get kicked out of the confessional and say, no, not you. You're too big of a sinner, right? Like, you go in, you make a good confession, you have a reasonable expectation of God covering you.
Not a presumption. That would be a sin.
Oh, well, if you go, well, it's especially said if you go into sin presuming, you know, His mercy, right?
Well, and that's exactly right. Now, but you can trust in God's goodness when you go to confession, and you should. That's why you go to confession.
You go to confession, you have a reasonable expectation that the church has told you what you need to do. Go in, say everything that's on your heart, be as comprehensive as possible, leave nothing out. Be genuine and present your sins to the Lord in the confessional. And there's a reasonable expectation that you're going to receive absolution. You're going to receive grace. You're going to receive a fresh start in confessional, right? So, but what is unconditional love, again, going back to that question, for God look like? Because, so we have that example of what unconditional love from God looks like. It looks like mercy. Well, God doesn't sin, right? So God cannot sin.
So we can't give Him mercy?
Wait, yeah, exactly. So, like, our unconditional love for Him, it has to be different, right?
So before you even go there,
the
first, when you ask that question, what is unconditional love for God, our love for God being unconditional, what does that look like? You know, my first, if I was going to give you my first blush answer,
sure,
I would say, well, it's probably as difficult as it is for me to have unconditional love for others.
Oh,
I mean,
sure,
there's that human challenge. Yes. That I have with any human being, and I strive to offer unconditional love for those, you know, who I love. I strive for that, and I'll just say sometimes, maybe even regularly, I fail in that.
Right.
And so I'd imagine that, like, looking at God and do I love Him unconditionally or can I? I would say I struggle to do that just because I can't even understand God's ways.
Right.
Right. And so there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of sometimes frustration just questions like, why, God, did you let this happen?
Sure. Yes, exactly. No, that's a key to all of this, right? And so one thing I'll say is just I think it's important for us to recognize, like, because we're not as Pelagians, right? You know, which is an ancient heresy of the church that it's our own will that we're doing things. It's by God's grace. So it's, you know, if we're talking about having unconditional love for God, this is not something that we're going to be able to just, like, come up with and manufacture. This is not like self-help tips.
Yes, right? Exactly,
like,
right.
You know, we're not giving like a PowerPoint presentation. So, you know, say just do this, this, and this, and you've shown unconditional love for God. Right?
Yeah, PowerPoint presentation would be difficult on radio by the way. So just so we're clear,
I had it.
Pull over, please. Pull your car over to the side of the road and watch this PowerPoint.
Now close your eyes.
I had animations ready and everything. But obviously, you know, what we're about to describe, it's born of God's grace, right? And it's obviously born of charity, right? The virtue of charity, faith, hope, and charity. We can't, we have to acknowledge that charity is that fire within, right? And that God, by charity, by the grace of charity, we're learning to love the things of the earth for love of God, you know, putting Him first. But at the end of the day, I think if we're going to ask ourselves, how does God help us grow in unconditional love through grace? Then I think the question, kind of going to what you were just saying, Deacon Jeff, is how does God remove conditions from our love? Right? You know, for that, the answer, I believe, is in how we respond to our sufferings through His grace. You know, and so just to be clear, we've talked about this before. God does not will our sufferings. He permits them.
Right.
right? And he permits them for a greater good, right? And so, and another thing I think is important for us to point out is it's easy for us to sometimes get into a place of self-pity and have a pity party when sufferings hit us, right? Because we're just focusing on the bad stuff that's happened to us. But we don't see all the sufferings that we've been spared. We don't get to see that until we get to the other side. You know, the diseases we've been spared, the car accidents that didn't happen, the various kinds of terrible accidents that didn't happen to us and to our loved ones. You know, and so I think that as we proceed with this conversation, we need to remember, you know, some scripture like, every hair on your head is counted. Every hair on your head is counted. You know, and especially from Romans, God is always at work for our good, right? So a recognition that you're seen, you're known, you're loved. God is permitting sufferings, but he's not doing that just because he's out to get you.
Or to keep you down.
Right, or to keep you down. He's at work for our good. And so my argument here basically that I want to kind of present to us is that accepting our sufferings, as we accept, come to by his grace, accept our sufferings in union with him, making an offering of those sufferings from him, turning them into a moment of self-gift, trusting that he's always at work for our good. That, the more we do that unconditionally, the more we grow in our capacity to meet his unconditional love that he gives us through his mercy, right? And to respond to that with unconditional love for him, where no matter what happens, we're able to say, Lord, I will love you even, I love you and I'm staying with you even when this has happened. Or this
and that
has happened.
Is so hard. What you just, yes. Now that part right there is the first part I think some people who are listening right now might be thinking, there's no way I can do that.
Oh, there's no way any of us can do that without his grace. That's why I wanted to emphasize it's only his grace that makes that possible.
I think probably the only human being that's ever existed who has done this, maybe to some degree we can measure and observe, is maybe Job.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the day, you know, and think about like what all
or
Job.
Mary.
Mary, yes, because her sufferings.
Massive.
For her. Yeah, you're right. So thank you for that, because that's true.
Somebody's got to look out for her in this place.
Yeah, okay. You're exactly right.
You know,
come
on.
Doing a good job. You're doing it. Have a donut.
Thank you.
Yeah, you just,
that's code for shut up.
It's a blue donut for Our Lady.
Oh, with sprinkles.
Yeah. With blue sprinkles.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's just, but again, even if it's Job and if it's Mary, you know, and I'm sure there are others, but if Job and Mary, we're thinking these are some pretty high standards,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
Right. And I want to go back to the whole offering your sufferings and remind people like what you just said about we can't do any of this without grace, without God. So like, you know, with God, nothing is impossible. Without God, nothing is possible. It's almost like everything flows through him. And that's why I'm always quick to remind myself that all love flows through God. God is the source of all genuine, real, authentic love.
Yes.
Total self-gift love, right? And all love flows through, out of him, you know, through us back to him. That's, I mean, it's like this, it's this big cycle that's happening of love. So all, and I hate to say something like, you know, love is recycled, you know, but essentially it is an ongoing continuum, right, of God's existence in our lives. And if you think of love that way, then you think everything flows from him and everything should flow to him. But it flows through us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think another thing that we need to kind of point out for people who are in radio land, if they're listening, to be like, so you're telling me God, he's permitting certain sufferings to remove conditions from my love so that I can love him more fully. Like, if someone forgets that we're talking about the God of the universe, if you had somebody who is just like, let's say, a human being who is putting someone through the paces, you know, to remove conditions from their love, you'd be like, well, that's very abusive of that person, right? But that person, what they're doing we have to get the big difference between God and creatures. God is this. God is the non-contingent. He's not. Source of all this universe of contingent things.
Yeah.
Right. Like he is sufficient unto himself. He is God. He is the great I am. So he actually doesn't need us. We don't add anything to God. When he is doing these things, it actually is for our good, right? Because at the end of the day, like people say, like, oh, how could a loving God have something like hell? That doesn't make sense. And he's like, well, he's created us to live forever. He's eternal. And if you're eternal, you're unchanging. If you want to be in communion with that which is eternal and unchanging, if he can't change, something's got to give, right? It's got to be we who change by his grace, cooperating with his grace. And at the point at which it's going to be a choice, and he's not going to force it on us, if somebody says, well, I'm not going to cooperate with his grace, I'm not going to choose to live in communion with him, that's just the natural effect is, all right, well, then there's an eternity out of communion with him, and that's just a natural consequence of it, right?
It's kind of like the prodigal son.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we have to just be rooted in, like, when God, it's for our good. It's not for his own good. So when he's removing these conditions from our love, what he's doing is he's helping us become more like him and be freed from our own self-concern, our tendencies towards self-centeredness, and to think about him, and to grow in our capacity to think of the other by and through him as well.
Yeah, and again, we don't fully understand the mystery of suffering. We can't fully grasp and understand, but this helps us. And the way I see it, I'm always into analogies, and I'm sitting there thinking about like life and our lifeblood and blood flowing through our veins, and there's clotting that happens in the blood, right? So when we hold on to things, when we're attached to things, when we suffer, and then we suffer needlessly, or we don't have that suffering, we don't see the suffering, and we hold on to things, then the blood clots. It doesn't flow freely, and when we have these conditions on our love, we're allowing the blood to clot, right?
Yes.
And so when we let go of the conditions, when we trust God and we give in to the suffering and accept the suffering as it was permitted, then all of a sudden there's this free flow, right? The clot breaks down and there's free flow of the blood. And it's the same way with God's love. It flows freely from him, and then it kind of clots when it gets to us if we have these conditions on it. Mm-hmm. We're not allowing it. It's like we're filtering, with this human filter, this free flow of love. And I guess all of this leads me to wonder, okay, so why are you telling us all this? Why are we concerned about this? And I think the answer is because we need to remove the conditions as best we can, or allow God to remove them, to be part of the process of the removal of the conditions of our love. We need to essentially stopping and allow the love to freely flow to us, through us, and from us to him, and into every other one of our co-beings.
Yes.
On this planet. And in other words, stop interrupting God's free flow of love.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, love, when you have a loving union, right, you've got that yearning, you get the giving, the union, the giving, the yearning, the union that brings, people together in that state of love. And like we were saying, God shows us unconditional love by his mercy. If we want to receive that mercy and enter into that love union with him, we're not in a position to give him mercy in the sense that God does not sin, right, and cannot sin just by his very nature. And therefore, this is the path by which we're able to, on this, feast of the divine mercy, if we are seeking to receive his mercy, that we can respond to his mercy and by giving of ourselves in a way that mirrors the gift that he's given to us, that unconditional love. And I think it's also important to say that, like, we can take a step back and we can look at other facets of our faith that are relevant here. Like St. John on the Cross talks about attachments, and he's not the only one who talks about attachments. All sorts of great spiritual grades within the Catholic tradition speak about attachments, but obviously St. John on the Cross is very much associated with discussing attachments that we had. And he gave a fantastic definition. He said, an attachment is anything you think you cannot live without, including your own life. Which is funny, right? You know,
like, yeah, I'm kind of attached to my life.
You're right.
I think.
But I think the idea there is if at the end of the day, this life is temporary. This is not our home. In the end of the day, we have to be focused on our eternal life. And so, yes, I mean, so included in that is the stuff that we don't think we can live without, including the notion that, oh, I really need this earthly life in order to live. And no, this is a temporary thing, right? And so I think the church, through St. John on the Cross and other similar mystics, have been teaching us to free ourselves from attachments. Or in a more modern sense, you hear other spirit.
But you're not telling people to stop breathing.
No.
Right? Because that starts to sound like I don't want to be attached to my own life.
Right.
What I hear when he says that is more martyrs.
Well, more martyrs. That's definitely the case. But it ultimately, you can't go chasing after martyrdom. It's something that you're going to be receiving if it's coming your way. But there can be voluntary fasting, right? And we just got through the period of Lent. So recognizing, okay, what are the things in my life that I'm pretty attached to that I feel like I can't live without? And then making that choice to say, well, I'm going to choose to live without this thing just to prove to myself that I can, because I don't want to be a slave to that thing. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to just be physical things. I mean, you hear a lot of times in more modern days, some spiritual teachers will speak in terms of the if-onlys.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they say, like, we can get caught up in, if only my life was like this, if only I had this,
right,
if only I had that, then I'd make it, as opposed to just receiving where you are, the gift of where you are, receiving God's love where you are, letting his love animate you where you are and help you grow in your capacity to receive the gift of the moment and make a gift of yourself and make a gift of the moment. I mean, ultimately, that is the work of grace that God is trying to accomplish within us. And it also relates, you know, listen, if it was always fun to obey his law, you know what I mean? Then it wouldn't be an issue.
There might have been a few saints that liked.
Yeah, you know. so they talk about, you know, I think it is St. John of the Cross who talks about when you become what's a proficient in the spiritual life, then there's a period of time where you start to really enjoy what it feels like to be virtuous, and you start doing virtuous activity because it's like, oh, it feels good that I did this for my neighbor, or I did this prayer activity for God, or whatever. But ultimately, he says that that's an intermediate step because God, you know, he's using that to help you kind of build up in virtue, but you got to be free of that as well. Like, ultimately, you know, you have to be pursuing virtue simply because for its own sake, in a way, or for God's sake, right? And so what I'm getting here and bringing this point up is a lot of times God's law, it can be sufferings for us because it might say, well, heck, I wanted to do this or I wanted to do that. God says I'm not allowed to do it, you know? And so sometimes we can kind of feel like God's a killjoy. You know what I mean? Well, why doesn't he let me have this or let me do that? And at the end, I mean, that's sort of at the heart, you know, not to be scary about it, but that's at the heart of what the enemy was whispering to Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, and saying, ye shall be like gods. He's trying to inspire within them what we call nowadays FOMO, that fear of missing out, saying, like, if God really loved you, he'd let you have this thing, right? And so you have to take it for yourself, right? And so if we are going to set that lie aside and say, we're not going to let that serpent into our garden, and if God has ordained us to do something, whether it's in, you know, public revelation of Scripture or whether it's something that the church has asked us to do, then yes, even if it causes us suffering because there's something in our will that doesn't want to do it, then yes, that also falls in line with this as well of accepting that suffering too for love of him. And that also is about removing conditions in our love, because ultimately he's not trying to have us just live. And he's not trying to create a whole world full of lawyers. The law is there to help us remove these conditions of love.
You've used a word several times in our presentation thus far, and I just want to highlight it because I think it's probably one of the keys to what you're talking about. And you've talked about receiving.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and when I hear receiving, what ends up really, when you think about receiving, if we did a whole show on reception, that show would spend half the time talking about receiving, but the other half talking about stop trying to take control of everything.
Yes.
Right? That unconditional love essentially is receiving the grace to allow things to happen.
Yes.
To allow them to happen. And then... to receive the grace to be able to process those things. And even if we don't understand fully what happened and why it happened and why it had to happen, at the very least, we have to trust in God. We have to trust that God is looking out for us, that God, because he loves us unconditionally, and when we try to return that love unconditionally and we struggle with that, it's probably because there's some clotting going on, right? And there needs to be a free flow of that love through us, that we essentially, and because when that love is freely flowing through us, ultimately what's happening is, think about like your blood in your body. I mean, it's carrying oxygen, it's bringing energy and goodness and everything that your body needs, and that's why you have a system of veins working and arteries working through your body. And so we need to allow God to love us, to give us the grace we need to love him unconditionally. This is an awesome, awesome show. Thanks, Sam. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.